Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Would you stand and turn to Matthew 13:24? I'll read the first verse. You read the second, and we'll read through verse 30. Okay? Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also.
So the servants of the householders
and he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?
He said, nay.
Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for so great a salvation. We're thankful for all the blessings you brought us. And I ask, Father, that you'd bless your word as it's preached this day. Give me the freedom, ease, Holy Spirit, power, touch hearts and lives. Have your way in each of us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. There is a lot of controversy in all the churches and many churches around. I understand the Bible. The Bible is hard to understand, and that maybe you need somebody that can speak Hebrew or Aramaic, or maybe you need somebody that's educated up in the college and the seminary. And there's just a lot of differences of opinion. And the other day, Friday afternoon, I was starting to build and study for a message this morning, and I just came across the passage, and it stuck. I just had to keep going. To me, it is one of the clearest and simplest presentation of the future of the world. You want to know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to tell you what's going to happen. Now, what we have here is Matthew chapter 13, which is full of parables. There are various parables on down the line. Many of the parables do not have an explanation. They're there. And you have to define them. You have to understand what they're talking about. And I have heard some peculiar teaching on these parables. Really have. Some of it is just way out in left field. And then there's some fellows that are faithful to the word, and they use the scripture to back up what they do, and so on and so forth. But Jesus didn't tell us what all the parables mean. He did on a few. He did on this one. He did on this one. What a real simple little story. A guy's got a field. He's a farmer. And he's sown wheat into his field. Good seed. Comes along over a period of time. We sleep a few months. And the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now the difference in the tares and the wheat, they look about the same. As they're growing up, it's in the fruit. It's in the fruit. And so the tares come along, and it's almost just a waste. It's a waste. It's actually a hindrance. But when the blade springs up and they bring forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said, didn't you sow wheat? Didn't you sow good seed? Yes, I sowed good seed. Well, how come it's got the tares? Now, listen to what he says. An enemy hath done this. I got an enemy. I got an enemy. They said, well, do you want us to go in and just pull up all the tares? He said, no. You might pull up wheat. You see, the important thing is the wheat. The tares are not the important part of this. It's the wheat. And he said, you root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. This is all biblical, I want you to know. This is true. Bind them in bundles to burn them. Gather the wheat into my barn. Wow. I just sat there. I was sitting at my desk. And I just sat there and I thought about how beautifully simple this parable is. How beautifully simple. How clear. How clear. Everybody wants to know the future. What's going to happen in this next election? What's going to happen to America? What's going to happen to the world? What's going to happen to Europe? What's going to happen to me? How many people in this room this last week thought about me? You? Am I going to get sick? Am I going to get this success or failure? Am I going to have troubles? Or how long am I going to live? Why? We got a lot of things, don't we? Did I forget to carry the trash out? You see, I lived in the country for 20-something years. I didn't ever have to remember to carry the trash out. So I have to tell myself, when do I put the trash out? By the way, I didn't have to pay for water except for the electricity to pump it for 22 years. Boy, I'll tell you what, water is expensive in this town. I've learned that since I got here. Wow, I want you to know now, here's a simple thing. Going down the chapter here, Manny. Man, can't even turn the page. This Bible's not that new. Look, if you will, at verse 36. Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the wheat. Okay? These disciples are saying, we want you to explain what you just said. You out here, when you had that multitude out here, you gave them this parable, and about the sowing wheat, and it looked like might be something really important here. Why don't you explain that to us? Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now, do you have a problem with that? Do you need the Greek? Do you need somebody who speaks Greek? Do you need a seminary graduate? Do you need somebody who's been preaching 59 years? No. Isn't that clear? How much clearer can God make it? Who are we talking about here? He said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus sows the good seed. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right. The field is the world. Wow. You been wondering what the field is? You got all these imaginations about what the field is? Have you got a bunch of different things you can plug into the field? No. He makes it very, very simple and plain. I am the sower of the good seed, and I'm sowing the good seed in the whole world. Do you understand the parable? Pretty clear, isn't it? I think a sixth grader would understand that. I love it. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Now, what is the good seed? The good seed of the children of the kingdom. There's your children of God. Who are the good seed? Who are the good seed in this field? The children of God. Are you a child of God? Then you're part of that good seed, aren't you? Wow. What? This thing is not difficult, is it? It seems so clear. You know, the rest of the Bible is the same way. Once you understand a few things, the Bible is really clear. It's not that people can't understand it. They don't want to know it. They don't want to understand it. They don't want to know what this parable is going to tell you because it's just as clear as a bell. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. How many times, Albert, preaching, writing of books, whatever, that people tell you all humanity are the children of God? No difference in us. All of us are the children of God. Not true.
That's right. Amen.
Not according to this right here. Jesus is telling his disciples it's not true. There are two classes of people out here in the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. What does he say about the bad seed? What about the tares? The tares are the children of the wicked one. Two great big groups, just two. Or we divide ourselves in a lot of other ways. Rednecks, New Yorkers, Californians. We got a lot of things, you know. You're a redneck if. You ever heard something like that? Just two. Is that simple? Let me tell you something today. Right now, according to this parable right here, according to the words of Jesus Christ, you're in one or the other.
Amen.
You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil.
Amen.
But we got both of them.
Amen.
Don't get yourself fooled by all this stuff. We're all the children of God. No, we're not. If you're saved, you're a child of God. If you're
Amen.
Not saved, you're a child of the devil. If you're following your own will, if you're in your own stubborn sin, you're a child of the devil. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you're a child of the devil. You understand that? In this room today, probably there are people that are children of God and people that are children of the devil. And in the whole world out there, there's only two divisions. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. That's what this is saying. Who gave this parable anyway? Who's interpreting this parable anyway? Word, or do you not? The enemy that sold them is the devil. He says, I have an enemy. An enemy is working in the same field I'm working in. Everywhere the devil goes, he's doing his best to defeat the work of Christ, and Christ came to defeat the works of the devil. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. That's a prophecy. That's a parable, a very simple parable, and a very clear prophecy. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. I don't like it.
Amen.
I don't even like the idea of hell.
Amen.
But I'm not God. I just believe his word. And if I'm going to be faithful to God's word, then I believe in hell. I don't understand it, except that you are an eternal being. And you're going to exist somewhere throughout eternity. God made you special. You're not like your dog. I know you love your little dog. Some of you sleep with your little dog. Some of you eat with your little dog. And some of you dress up your little dog in all sorts of costumes. Well, you can pet them and kiss them all you want to. They're still a dog. They're dogs. I've loved dogs all my life. But I don't sleep with one. I don't eat with one either. But I love them. Yes, but they're a dog. You're not a dog. You're not an animal like all the other animals. I had that old man that I think I've told you about him a time or two, Jess Marlin. I was 22 and he was 76. And I was going to college, Howard Payne. I'd look out my window and I'd say, I wonder if Jess went to hell last night. Because he was the town atheist. The town atheist. You went to every revival meeting, you go to every meeting. You want everybody to say. He liked to debunk it. He liked to make fun of it. Whatever. I remember, I said, well, Jess didn't go to hell. And I went over there and I said, Jess, you didn't go to hell last night. I talked to him like that. He said, boy, you're going to go crazy reading that black book. He said, no, I'll be like that mule right there. When I die, it'll be just like that mule. I said, no, that mule's not going to hell. But you are. Little old lady come by and visited me one day. I was 22. I had two little bitty boys. They were just buttons. Got liver pills. And he loved my little boys. And he would come over. We'd talk. I'd be swinging them back and forth on the swing. My Bible laying on the grass. Memorizing scripture. You know something? That old man got saved. Little lady came by and she said, Brother Kincaid, I know you don't know why God sent you here, but I do. I've been praying for Jess Marlin for years. He's got a lovely saved wife and he needs to be saved. And God sent you here to win Jess Marlin to the Lord. Jess Marlin got saved. And I got Christmas cards from him for years till he was 81 years old. And he'd say, still giving my testimony, boy. Still giving my testimony. You know something? There's a heaven and there's a hell. I don't care if it's politically correct or not. I don't care if it's socially correct or not. It's the truth out of the mouth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How can you say, I follow the Bible, I teach the Bible, I teach the truth and not teach hell? I didn't get saved because Jesus loved me so much that I knew it. I got saved because I was scared of hell.
Amen.
I believed the Bible from my youth up. I don't know how it came about. I don't know where I got the idea that the Bible was the Word of God, that I could trust it. I don't understand that. I don't remember. I'm not sure who put first things in my head, but I did believe it. I believed the Bible was right. I believed it was good. And I believed I ought to be following it, and I wasn't, and I believed in heaven and hell, and that I was going to go to hell.
Amen.
Oh, every once in a while I'd weigh myself out. Well, I'm not really that bad. You ever done this?
Amen.
Well, I'm better than these people. I'm better than that guy. I'm really not that bad. You know, if God's going to weigh us out and take half to heaven, I'd surely be in the top half, right? Wouldn't you think that way? We do. Let me tell you what. One of my 20-year-old buddies in the service got killed driving my truck on my road. And I said, whoa, I could die and go to hell. And then some preachers kept on preaching. They preached the Word of God, and they preached about heaven, and they preached about hell. They preached on how you could get to heaven. And I got saved.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, I've run from you too long. You know something? This is really interesting to me. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He's not talking about tares. The tares represent people. He's talking about the children of the devil that are on the road to hell, and it might be some of you here today. I am not happy about it. It does not give me joy to ever preach about hell. but hell's real. And you better believe it. And let me tell you who told you about hell. The author of love. Jesus loved you more than anybody. Jesus loved you more than his mother ever loved you. Jesus loved you more than Moses did. Jesus loved you. And he's the one that taught us more about hell than any other prophet in the Word of God. Elijah, with all his fire and bringing fire down from heaven on his enemies, didn't teach you about hell what Jesus taught you about hell. I don't like hell. But let me tell you something. I didn't want to go there. I don't care what your opinion of God is that way, but God is God. He can be whatever he wants to be. If God were a bad God, you couldn't do a thing about it. You're not that strong. You're not that bold. You couldn't stand it. You're going to stand in front of God when his best friend on the earth looks at him and falls down flat on his face? John, when he sees Jesus in his glorified body in Revelation chapter 1, he just falls over like he's dead. You're not going to stand up to God. Quit thinking some stupid thoughts like you can resist God. You can make him do it your way. You're going to do your own thing. Well, I did my own thing for some years. And then I got scared of hell. I did not want to go to hell.
Amen.
And I repented of my sins and I called on Christ and he saved my soul and he changed my life. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 12. This is another one of those very clear verses. You know what impressed me about this? The clarity. This parable and its explanation are so simple and so clear. I said, I have to preach that. I can't preach anything else. I've got to preach that. Look how clear it is. How can you miss it? Can you miss the truth that's being taught here? I don't think you can. Look at chapter 12 of Luke, verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. After that, have no more to take into the body. But I will warn you whom you shall fear. For he which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear. Now, in truth, most of us are afraid of them that kill our body.
Amen.
In truth. We're afraid of the young thugs that would come in and beat you up and cut you up and steal whatever you've got or abuse your family, your children, your wife, your family, grandchildren, whatever. Yeah, that's something to fear. And yet when Jesus is talking, he said, think a little bit now. All they can do, I know it's going to sound a little funny, all they can do is kill you. The very worst they can do to you is kill you. What you need to do is fear him which after. Do you notice that word in there? After. They can't do anything to you after. But God can. God can. Do you understand how clear? I was just absolutely impressed. I sat down Friday afternoon to read some passages of Scripture and think about a message for this morning. And I hit this right early in my reading. I didn't have to read very long, just a short while. And all of a sudden, that you see it? Am I the only one that sees how clear this is? This is so clear. Right out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, he's telling you what the parable means. He's telling you, here's your future. All of you want to know what's going to happen to the world? Well, I can't tell you what's going to happen to me, but I can tell you what's going to happen to the world. Yeah. God sows good seed in His field, in the world. He's put His children out into this world. And He's got an enemy called the devil. And I don't know why God lets him exist, but He does. And the devil is sowing his seed among them. And they're all together. He's not just talking about people that are church or religious or one religion or another religion. He's talking about the world. And we're all together. Children of God. Children of the devil. And in the end of this whole thing, when I wrap it up, don't you be trying to decide now how to take care of the children of the devil, because you might do harm. Most of the time that I've seen anything like that happen, it does harm. You don't know. You can't realize. You cannot think well enough. You do not have the wisdom nor the power. Let both grow together to harvest. I'll send my angels in. And they're going to gather out all things that offend, all things that are wicked and that are evil, and they're going to be burned. And then I'm going to gather my children. I'm going to take them to live with me throughout eternity. Wow. Wow. Is it clear?
Amen.
There's the heaven. There's
the
hell.
Amen.
There's an eternity for both. And there's God and there's the devil. And if you suffer your own will to direct your life, you're living for the devil. Some of you in here, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You know it's true.
Amen.
Who explained this? It wasn't Brother Dale. It wasn't Brother Billy. It wasn't Brother Brent. It wasn't Brother Lindell. It's Jesus. His disciples walk back in there after the crowd is gone. Remember, some of you try to make Jesus a pastor. Jesus was never a pastor. Jesus was an evangelist. He went all over. He preached the same messages in different towns and different places to different crowds of people. He's preaching the same message. And as He goes out and preaching to these people out here, He's calling them. He's reaching them. He's pointing Himself to them. He's calling for you to be saved. See, you don't have to die a child of the devil.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you don't have to die a child of the devil. You can hear the message so clear, so simple. There's going to be a real bad end for the children of the devil when the end of this thing comes up. You realize what I'm talking about? There is a very bad end for the children of the devil and the devil himself. And there is a wonderful, almost indescribable, wonderful future for the children of God. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is talking about the eons, the ages to come as God shows His great kindness towards us. You can't do it in a week. You can't do it in 100 years. I don't understand God. I'll tell you for sure, I am in awe of God. He's bigger than I ever thought He was when I was young. He's wiser, He's more powerful, He's everything more. I stand in awe of God every day of my life. It's going to take ages upon ages for us to understand the love of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. Do you understand that? I know I got saved and God changed my life 59 years ago. Wow. I'm still amazed. Why did I get saved and some of my friends didn't? How come my sins are forgiven and theirs aren't?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
How come it was such mercy that he reached down and he gave mercy to me? He called me several times. He called me over and over again. He called me.
Thank you, Lord.
I sat under preaching just like I'm preaching right now. And I would be convicted of my sin. I ought to repent. I ought to go. I ought to take Christ as my Savior. I ought to be preaching this gospel. Oh, yeah. I thought all those things. But no, I'm having fun. I'm young, I'm wild, I'm free, I'm having fun. One day it didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was I was a sinner bound for hell and he was the Savior that was reaching out to me with a message. Never, never can forget it. It's never far from the surface of my mind. The absolute mercy of God, the load of sin that fell off my back, the peace that passes all understanding that came into my heart, and the trust in God and in His Word and in Jesus Christ. Don't be worried about them that can kill your body. After that, there's no more they can do. I tell you who to fear. What a whole lot of people don't like today, fear God. You see, God is a great big Santa Claus in the minds of a lot of people in the world, even very religious people. God's no Santa Claus.
Amen. Amen.
God is an absolute God with absolute power, and He demands righteousness.
Amen.
And there's not a one of us in here or any place else on the face of the earth can supply that righteousness.
Amen.
Not a one.
Amen.
That's why Jesus came.
Yes.
Amen. As Brother Brian said, He fulfilled the law.
Amen.
He filled it up and He fulfilled it. He completed it. And His glory is so much greater than the glory of the law. Hey, the glory of the law, as far as the world was concerned, that came by Moses was glorious. But once you see Christ and you see salvation in Christ, it shines so much brighter that that's almost no light at all. God so loved the world.
Thank you, Lord.
God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Think with me for a minute. Every pleasure you have ever known comes because you're living. Is that right? It is in my mind. I've had a lot of pleasure. I had the pleasure of a lovely wife. I had the pleasure of lovely family and friends. I've had the pleasure of doing what I wanted to do most of my life. And I'm sitting here an old man and still rejoicing in God's blessings. Every one of them is because I'm alive. Life. How about life forever? How about life with God? How about life like God? Wow. A gift. I want to give you a gift. What did the Lord say today? I want to give you a gift. You know what the gift? I want to forgive your sins. I want to take them off your back. You know what? You never could work hard enough to pay for a little white lie. You couldn't do it. You're not good enough. Oh yeah, you're good some days. Yeah, you make some nice decisions some days. What about the other days? What about 30 minutes after you did good?
Right. Amen.
No, 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 no. I want to give you something you can't deserve. I want to give you something you can't win. I want to give you something you can't earn and you could never pay for. I want to give you eternal life. Life with God forever. Life like God forever. You know what you got to do? You got to repent. Acts chapter 17. You want to see what it says? Acts chapter 17. Verse 30. And the times of this wickedness God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Do you see what that said? I don't even understand the times this ignorance God winked at. I don't understand it. I can't explain it to you. But I can explain the other part. Here is a very clear statement in that sentence. Now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
That's what I did.
Amen.
I said, God, I'm sorry. God, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've ignored you, and I've abused this, and I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything in heaven. But, oh, God, I hear you made a promise out there that if I would repent of my sins and call on you, you'd save my soul.
Amen.
He did it.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll do it for you.
Amen.
You can be saved today.
Amen.
October the 16th, 2016 could be your birthday spiritually. Wow. What a pleasure. For 59 years, I've been able to offer that to anybody I met. Little bitty boys and girls, married parents with all they had problems, they got old people that are getting ready to pass out of this life. I could walk in to death row of the worst prison in the world and give that same invitation. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
You need to believe the gospel.
Amen.
You need to believe what Jesus said. And you need to come to God and let Him save you. If you've never been saved, your church membership is worth nothing. Your baptism, I don't care whether you were sprinkled or poured on or dunked. Even in the Jordan River, it won't help you unless you repent of your sin and take Christ as your Savior. How about you today? I'm not talking about a lot of other things that goes along with religion. I'm talking about taking Christ as your substitute. Taking Christ as your righteousness. Taking Christ as your Lord and Savior today. It's an act of the will. He is God. He deserves your honor, your submission. Bow before Him and say, forgive me for all that I've done. I believe Jesus died in my place. I'll take your word.
Amen.
I'll take Christ as my Savior.
Yes.
Let's stand and turn to number 134.